This is News in No Time, Ed Gordon. On today's special roundtable, we hear from the mayors of two of the nation's largest cities. This week, Time magazine published a list of what it called the nation's best and worst mayors. But are these labels fair? We spoke with Philadelphia Mayor John Street and Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, both of whom were named by the magazine as two of the nation's worst city leaders. Mayor Kilpatrick said the magazine took shortcuts that led to some unfair assertions.
There was no criteria, first of all, for this. They took a lot of inaccurate information, put it in the magazine. It basically comes from our local press. And as many mayors know around the country, the local press is the worst place to get some information, true information about what's going on in the city, unfortunately. And they printed that. We just were named by Inc. magazine and Harvard Business School and Dr. Michael Porter as the number one mayor in the country for inner city innovation. So I'm going to Boston to get that award. There was no criteria that looked at the 7,400 houses that we're building in the city, more than any period in our history, the 40-year low in crime, the incredible amount of development and national conventions and trade shows and sporting events that are coming into the city of Detroit, from the Major League Baseball All-Star Game to the Super Bowl to the Final Four. I mean, so there was no look at the improvement of the city services. We shovel snow, cut grass. I mean, fix streets. We've resurfaced more roads in the city than any period in our history. And then some of the same things that they were saying about other mayors and aggressively stepping up to these tough economic times. I think Mayor Street has been a model for that. I actually looked at what he did in Philadelphia in reducing his budget, stepping up on the issues of homelessness and health care, and I stole from him and took a lot of things, and we actually reduced our budget. When I walked in the office, I walked in with a $100 million deficit that I was facing. So actually balancing that budget, you know, really increasing our health and wellness promotion in our city, having a 10-year homeless plan. So none of those things were looked at. It was just, let's look at some of the salacious things that were in the paper locally and let's write an article.
Yeah, truth be told, Mayor, you still face a lot of problems there in the city. You and I have talked privately and publicly, because Detroit's my hometown, about the deficit this city faces. Some people say upwards of $230 million. Mm-hmm. The elimination of 3,000 city positions, the elimination, and as you point out inaccurately, that bus service has ended to 24-hour services. You still have it on six of the busiest bus lines in the city. But there are, of course, questions that we talked about early on our show here, that you received a lot of heat for renting a $25,000 Navigator for your wife's use, etc. How much of this will you say is problematic and should be laid in the seat of the mayor?
Well, the $230 million deficit that we face in the city of Detroit, first of all, we delivered a balanced budget April 12th to city council. But that $230 million deficit really centered in two areas. We had a $177 million pension payment, you know, because of the stock market. We don't control our city pension. Our labor unions do. And because of bad investments, we had a $177 million liability that by law we have to make up in the city of Detroit. So that has nothing to do with Kwame Kilpatrick. And we had an $80 million increase in our health benefits. Blue Cross Blue Shield and our HMOs went up, and 78 was the exact figure of our health benefits. And when you look at those two figures together, that's the deficit. When you talk about those other things, you talk about the problems of a major city. I mean, every day in the paper and in Time magazine and in magazines all over the country, they talk about the erosion of the American manufacturing industry. Ed, you're from Detroit. When you look at a $1 billion loss at GM, 8,000 jobs being you know, outsourced and taken away, that's Detroit that gets hit. So, I mean, this has been one of the worst economic periods for the American manufacturing industry ever, and our heavy reliance on income taxes in the city of Detroit is taking us to a place that we're in now. I mean, so we continue to see this 40-year erosion in that base, and so the city had to right-size. So, yeah, when I came in, the city was much too big. We had 20,000 employees for a city that had 900,000 people, and so we had to right-size city government. Mm-hmm. So I've eliminated over 4,000 positions in city government. We never, ever, Ed, eliminated 24-hour bus service. That was an erroneous article printed in our local paper, and Time took it right from the local paper. And
In total. Some of the services were cut, but in total it's not eliminated. John Street, let me move to you and ask you, ironically, the thumbnail that's written about you doesn't necessarily speak to you specifically, as it speaks to problems of corruption from people that surround you. I'm wondering, you've been dealing with this for quite some time. Talk to me about how problematic that has been and whether you believe it's a fair shot in taking the heat.
Well, I too thank you for having us on for just a few minutes. Unfortunately, we'll never have enough time to explore in the real depth and detail the kind of progress that we've made and the challenges that we have in cities. And I must tell you, I've been an elected official in the city of Philadelphia for 25 years, and I can speak out of a breadth of experience that spans a generation. I served as a member of city council and a council president for 19 years, and have served as mayor for seven, for five, going on six. And I once told some people that to be a mayor in a major city today, given the economy, the escalating health care costs, pension costs, and other problems, that we have, most of which are not of our own making. We have a global economy, and so many of the problems that we face are problems that are faced by cities all over the country, and we're not in control. I sometimes say mayors deserve combat pay for some of the problems that you end up having to deal with. I want to first congratulate especially Shirley Franklin, my dear friend from Philadelphia, who I think is doing a fine job in Atlanta, who also has some difficulties, and all the mayors who have been congratulated for their work. I also want to congratulate Mayor Kilpatrick for the good work that he's doing in Chicago.
But Mayor Street, let me ask you this.
Can I just finish? All right?
Well, I'm trying to get you to address some of what we say. Send congratulations, go ahead and finish.
I don't want to argue with you, right, because I really do appreciate the opportunity to make our case.
Okay, then let's get to that, sir.
Well, I want to get to that, but these are important people, and I wouldn't want anybody to think my getting on your show and talking about this is intended to take anything away from the mayor.
No, and I don't think anybody will read that in, sir.
You address the question of a probe. There are probes that are going on in numerous cities around the country, and even in some of the cities that have been cited by Time magazine in the article. And I do believe that in this country, there are investigations. There will always be investigations. They come and they go. And there were investigations taking place in the city of Philadelphia when I came, and there'll be investigations that will be going on because it is a huge, huge city. I don't, though, believe that should justify people not taking into account the work that is being done in our cities, and my city in particular, over the course of the last 5 years.
Mayor Street, do you believe that the course of the problems, as you suggest there, that big cities face, and when you sit in that seat, has made big city mayors at all defensive and possibly justifiably so?
I don't think any of us are defensive. We just want people to understand the natures of the problems that we face. Our expenses are going up under circumstances over which we have very little control. We're in a global economy that affects all of our tax revenue. There are state cutbacks in revenues that affect the city. There are federal cutbacks in revenues that affect the city. And we are, in many cases, the last resort for people who desperately need services. In our city, we have over 10,000 market rate housing and affordable housing in a pipeline that will show more housing in our city in the last 5 years than at any other time in recent history. And we've cleaned up neighborhoods. Housing starts are wonderful. We have negotiated fair contracts with our unions. We have hosted the Republican National Convention, the basketball All-Star game. We're all doing the kind of things necessary in order to improve the quality of life in our city. We have a tax reduction program in our city. During the course of my 5 years so far, I mean, we've reduced taxes by over $500 million. And so I guess a concern that we all have is we would like for Time magazine to have spent a little time in our cities, mm-hmm. developed a real appreciation for the work that we are doing.
A more balanced representation.
And then they could write what they want to write, but give us a fair chance to defend our record as mayors in important cities.
Mayor Kilpatrick, how much do you believe that this is a game that's played by the media against mayors of big cities, particularly African-American mayors, where the suggestion is no matter what the plus side is, the downside is highlighted? And in the same vein, how much of it is, frankly, mayors who will throw two or three items up that have done well while the rest of the city erodes? There has to be a balance between the two, don't you think?
I think fairness, balance, and accuracy is all mayors want. I think that we all going to take our hits. I mean, when we signed up for this position, I mean, many of us knew the deal. I have far less experience than Shirley Franklin and Mayor Street in both of those mayors. But, you know, I served as leader of the State House. I watched tremendous reductions of appropriations going to the city of Detroit over the course of the time that I was the leader of that institution. But what I can say specifically to the question, Ed, is, yeah, I mean, some people just have better PR than us. Before I even deal with the race issue, what I can take an enormous amount of responsibility for is it's hard to get the accomplishments of what we're doing in Detroit out. First of all, we've been under this negative stigma for about 40 years in the city. And any time you have that in your town, it's hard to get the good information to the top. Then secondly, I do believe that there are some cities in America that face different issues than others. You know, Philadelphia, Detroit, we are old towns. We just celebrated our 300-year anniversary. So my infrastructure issues, my snow removal issues, there are certain issues that we deal with some of the people who we call in the Bible, the least of these. You know, I mean, people who really need mayor's help that don't exist in other cities because the differences in tax base, the differences of issues, the differences in weather, and how new the city is. And then some of the structural costs that are involved in cities, you know, tremendous history and labor, tremendous pension and health costs that are in Philadelphia and in Detroit that don't exist in some of the newer cities.
What do you say to those who say that New York City is an old city?
New York
City is a bigger city, a more problematic city, yet, according to Time Magazine, Mayor Bloomberg is one of the top five. I know we don't want to use Time Magazine as the end-all, be-all, but just to juxtapose it to New York.
You know, I think, can I
interrupt?
Sure,
I think,
Street, go ahead.
I think that's an unfair question, and I wouldn't think of criticizing New York, Mayor Bloomberg. I've talked to him. He's got huge problems up there, but he's trying to deal with them like we all are trying to deal with them. He has a $3 billion deficit. That doesn't mean he's not doing a good job, right? He has a $3 billion deficit that's down from $11 billion. You know, we all have our financial challenges, many of which are caused by these other circumstances. I think the key concern that we have here is the process that Time Magazine used to identify those people that are doing a good job and those people who allegedly are not doing a good job. And in the true spirit of fairness, we just wanted Time Magazine to come to our cities, understand our particular problems and our progress, and then write whatever story you think is appropriate.
We should
but
note that
we don't. We have this sense that that didn't happen here.
Yeah.
We should note that Times editor Nancy Gibbs notes that their attempt to judge the mayors were based on what they called little things that make life livable: potholes, street cleaning, etc. Yeah, I sense, gentlemen, and tell me if you think this is fair, a bit of frustration from you, Mayor Street, and Mayor Kilpatrick and I, in full disclosure, have known each other for years, and I know his workings, and I know the frustration he sometimes feels in terms of just trying to get the word out. Is it fair to say that you meet with these frustrations in attempting to say, look, we know things aren't good, as good as they can be, but they're not as bad as you say?
Well, I put it this way. All of these things, in some respects, are relative. They're all relative. I removed over 200,000 abandoned cars from the street. We cleaned every vacant lot in our city twice in our first term. You know, we borrowed $300 million and invested it in neighborhoods. It's the largest investment in neighborhood economic development in the history of the city. We shut down 300 open-air drug markets so that our city is safer and clearer than it has ever been in my 25-year history. Now, given all of that, and given the fact that we've maintained for 5 years a tax reduction program, we still had to reduce in order to compensate for the other problems with the economy. Our workforce is down to a level on a par with 55.
Yeah.
So it is very difficult for people to come in and paint with a broad brush. We're for example, doing snow removal on side streets in our city that we have 40 miles of street that are less than 10 feet wide because we're an old city. And we took and created four-wheel drive, snow-plowed vehicles to plow every one of those streets for people who have to get to work. So it's difficult for somebody at, 30,000 feet to understand what we're doing at ground level.
Well, let me do this for both of you because literally I'm up against the clock. Let me see if I can come out, Mayor Kilpatrick to Detroit and Mayor Street to Philadelphia, and do a encompassing report of all of what you face, and hopefully we can put a light on it in a broader sense and spend some real time with you.
If you guys will accept that, I'll
promise to do that.
That'd be great.
Let me just say this in closing, just along the lines of what Mayor Street just said. The job of mayor changes all the time. The job that Mayor Street had to do in 1998 and 1999 is different from the one he's doing in 2004 and 2005.
All right,
the job that I have is much different than Coleman Young and Dennis Archer. So what changed? This global economy, national economy, changes the job and the needs of the citizens of the city, and that's why you can't have a broad brush.
Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick and Mayor John Street, we'll take you up on that offer. We'll have our people call your offices and set something up.
Thank you.
We thank you both for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.